All right, so last week we started talking about my good shepherd, my good shepherd. And I'm going to take an aspect of the ministry of the shepherd that is so strong and is so powerful and is so relevant to this season in which we are. And there's no way I'm going to finish, but wherever I get to, I'm going to stop when that time is right. And I trust the Lord to help us finish it on Wednesday. So if you're able to return to join us on Wednesday, please do that. Amen. But I want you to go back with me here to Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. The Lord is our shepherd, but David made it personal. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yeah, I know he is the shepherd of all of his people. I know he is the shepherd of all of his sheepfold. But to me, he is not just our shepherd, he is my shepherd. And he is my good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14. He said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And then he said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." And he says, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." He says it again in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep by name, and I am known of mine." I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You can rest assured and be confident in the knowledge that the Lord is your shepherd and that he is the good shepherd. He is your good shepherd. Every will and every counsel and every plan of the Lord for his people is good. And we may not always understand the root and the reason for everything that is going on in the world, but the Lord, who is our good shepherd, will always be good to us. That is why Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is one of the most powerful scriptures that any believer can have a revelation of. It says that all things, and Paul said, we know, we're not guessing about it. Yeah, so we may not fully understand everything that's going on around the world. We may not fully understand all the intricacies, and God bless you, there are probably some people out there who believe they totally understand everything, they know it, they get it, God bless you. But we don't fully understand everything, and every reason, every human life is precious before the Lord. I believe that just maybe a few hours ago, the United States hit 2,000 deaths so far. I think, is it 2,000 or 1,000? I think it's 2,000 now, deaths so far. And that's not talking about the thousands of deaths in other parts of the world. And I know that every human life is precious to the Lord. So while we may not understand sometimes why the plagues rage and ravage the way they do, we do understand. The Bible says, he said, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. So we may not understand everything, but we do know that when this is over, it's going to work together for our good. It's going to work together for the good of God's children and God's people. Hallelujah. Because we're a different people. We're not like everybody else on the earth. We have a unique covenant with the Lord. We have a special, everlasting partnership with him that allows us to hide in the hollow of his hands when the storms of life are raging. And we're guaranteed a protection. So today, I'm going to take some time, a few minutes, to focus very strongly on the guaranteed protection that the Good Shepherd has for his sheep. You know, Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. In Hebrews, I think it's 13:20, he says he is the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And the way he bought the covenant, the right ownership of the sheep was through his precious blood, the Bible tells us. And so, when you look at all of the different things that the Word of God promises by virtue of this covenant that the Good Shepherd has with the sheep, it is very important that we're able to zero in from time to time on aspects of it and get a very good, strong, clear revelation of that. I know that last week I talked about the Good Shepherd providing direction for the sheep, provides direction, provision, restoration, protection, preservation, and promotion. And all of that is true, but it is also very important that we're able to look at each and every one of those and get a revelation of that. Now, all of them are tied to direction. All of them are tied to how he guides the sheep. One of the primary, principal responsibilities of the shepherd is to guide them, to feed them, and to protect them. Actually, those are the three principles. And then that is broken down into many other things. You actually see that if you go back there with me to Psalm 23 in the Amplified Version, you're going to see in verse 1 where he actually states it that way. Psalm 23, if you look at verse 1 in the Amplified, this says, the Lord is my shepherd, to 1, feed, to 2, guide, and to 3, shield me. The Lord is my shepherd, number 1, to feed, number 2, to guide, and number 3, to shield me. Those are some of the things that he does primarily, practically, for the sheep. I want to take some time and focus a lot today on how he shields the sheep. I want to talk about the guaranteed protection that the Good Shepherd has for his sheep. Hallelujah. If you look there in verse 4, in the same Amplified Bible, it says, yea, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear or dread no evil, because you are with me, your rod to protect me, your staff to guide me, and they comfort me. I love that. Yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will dread no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod to protect me, your staff to guide me, and they comfort me. Hallelujah. They comfort me. Hallelujah. So even though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I believe is the Message translation. You know, I want you to see this. This is very powerful. This is very important and it's very powerful. And I like the coinage of the Message translation because it makes it relevant to our lives. You know, sometimes life just goes through that valley of death. Sometimes. Sometimes life just takes you through that valley. It's not because you are from this family or that family. It's not because you went to this school or that school. It's not because you are black or white or whatever. It's not because of anything. Life sometimes just takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you. I have personally been in that deep, sunless valley so many times in my life. That deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death where you don't hear anything else but the threatening sound and the threatening noise of the wolves and the lions and the bears and all of the dangerous creatures. And all you feel around you, if you're a covenant child of God, is the arms of the Good Shepherd. And in spite of all the noise and in spite of everything that is going on, somehow or the other, you just know everything is going to be all right. Somehow, we're going to come through it. Not because the people are saying it on TV, not because government leaders are saying it, because they may not have a basis to say that. They may just say it just because it sounds good. But we say it because we know who this good shepherd is. We know who this good shepherd is. I like the way the Message puts it. It says sometimes even when life, when the way goes through, you put that up for me, thank you. Even when the way goes through the death valley, hallelujah. Sometimes, even when the way goes through the death valley, it's not a detour. It's not like you got lost. It's not like you wandered off. It's not like something else. No, but actually, sometimes the way just goes through the death valley. Sometimes in life. And whether that death valley represents sickness and disease, or sometimes whether that death valley represents the threat and the assault of the physical elements, accidents and destruction in family and relationship, financial ruin, or whatever else. No matter what it is, even when the way goes through that death valley, he said, I will not be afraid. I will not fear any evil. I will not be full of dread because I know you are with me. I know you are with me. I have a revelation of who I'm walking this road with. Hallelujah. Do you know there are times when it's every man to himself? Even the people who love us the best sometimes can't really help us in the things that we're going through. Our brothers and our sisters and our parents, our fathers, our mothers, our friends, even the ones who would give everything for us, sometimes they just cannot be there. But there is a good shepherd who is always there. Hallelujah. And my prayer for you, I've prayed for several hours for everyone that would hear this. My prayer for you is that this will become a deep revelation. You can't just hear it one time or hear about it or read it one time. You've got to dwell in this. You've got to abide in this. You've got to dwell in this. You've got to get into this secret place and dwell there. You know what it means to dwell someplace? It means to abide, to be permanently resident there. If wherever you live in the world, wherever your home is, that's where you live. No matter where you go, you come right back there because that's where you live. And my prayer for you is that this will be a revelation you live in. You will become resident in this revelation. It will become not just a mental knowledge, awareness within your mind, but that it becomes something that you are fully engaged in. You are fully convinced about, fully persuaded about. That even when life goes through that valley, He is with me. I can't tell you how many times I have gone personally through that sunless valley. I cannot tell you how many times. The protection of the Good Shepherd has become a deep revelation within me. I don't even think about it. I don't know what your staple food is. In many families, it's rice. Many places, it's bread. Some people, it's greens and salad. It's like my staple diet, the Lord's protection. I'm so convinced about it. And my prayer for you, and I prayed for you for several hours, because right now, what the world is dealing with is what we're talking about. Everybody's talking about that. But this is not the devil's best shot. He's got more in his arsenal. And this is not going to be the last assault against the world and against God's people. And wherever you are, you've just got to have a revelation. You've got to have a revelation of it. I never forget, many years ago, I was on a business trip in Kaduna, Nigeria. I was doing this business that caused me to go, you know, from the south to the north of the country. And I'll take some things from the south and go sell in the north in Kano. And I'll take those things, I'll take some other things from Kano that the people in the south loved, and I'll take them back to sell in the south. And I'll never forget, on this particular trip, and I had stayed over with some of my friends who at that time lived in Kaduna. This was way back then, 1990 maybe? Yeah, maybe 1990 or 91 or something like that. Maybe even 89, I'm not sure. And I remember that I had gone and I had stayed with some of these my friends, and you know, because the bus had schedules, and usually they were night buses. So if you arrive earlier in the day, you need somewhere to just kind of hang around until night. So I'd gone to some of these my friends who were all believers, and all friends together from college, and I'd stayed a few hours with them, and then they saw me off to the bus station that night, but of course, to get to the bus station, you have to take a cab. So they got me to the part of their street where I got into this cab, and got into this cab that was supposed to take me to the bus station. And suddenly, in this cab, I was seated, I was seated on the other side of the driver, and behind, of course. And then there were two other passengers to my left, and then there was one passenger to the right of the driver. And this was pitch darkness. It's that sunless, deep sunless valley. I didn't even see the faces of the people that I was riding this cab with, because it was so dark. It was pitch darkness. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I had a money bag that I held on that trip, and then I had all my goods. All my goods were in the trunk of the cab. But my money bag was always strapped to my shoulder, and I held it. You know how you clutch your money bag? You know how you clutch it? Like, you clutch it even sometimes closer than your life itself, right? I'll never forget it as long as I live. Somewhere on that trip, as we went from where they picked me up to where I was supposed to get on this bus, somewhere, I just felt there was so much movement around my feet. And I looked down there and I noticed my money bag had actually been pulled away from where it was. And I could feel money all over the ground. And I could feel like some hands had dug inside my money bag and they had taken some of them. Ah! You couldn't see, but I could feel the money. And suddenly I looked at this person who was sitting to my left, and I tried to do something, and suddenly it dawned on me it was a setup. I was in the same car with a group of four armed robbers, And they were going to kill me that night and take everything I had. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. In my spirit, the revelation of who God, I'm talking 1989. Somebody can do that calculation and tell me how many years ago that was. And in my spirit, it erupted the covenant of protection that I have with him. And in my spirit, I started to say, Jesus, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, the next thing, of course, you know, this is a valley of death. So once it became clear to me that everyone, because when I mentioned this person was trying to steal my money, all of them at the same time said, shut up, keep quiet. And that's when it became obvious to me. So, of course, my next thing was to try to get out of that car. And so while this car was in top speed, and only God knows where they were taking me, I decided I was going to open that door and jump out of that car. I preferred whatever would happen there to whatever would happen that they could do to me that night. And in trying to open the door, I found that the door was locked. I put my hand on the door lock to try to open it, and I found out the person who was sitting right in front of me had his hands permanently on that door lock. I couldn't open that door lock. And so it dawned on me, well, you know, I watch a lot of 007 James Bond movies. And it dawned on me, tonight is my night. And while they were doing all of this stuff and they thought they had it all cornered, I suddenly wound down the glass, the window, suddenly, and I did it very quick. And quickly, I know they could not believe that I would have done that. Very quickly, I squeezed myself out of that window space, and I jumped out and landed on the ground, and they took off with the money and the goods. And I lay down there in the dust for just a few minutes. And I made sure I was still alive. And I was well. And I dusted myself up and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. There is no greater revelation you need to have when you walk through that deep, sunless valley than the knowledge and the revelation that your good shepherd is going to carry you. Your good shepherd has his arms around you. It does not matter what the plan of the enemy is. It does not matter what the assault of the enemy is. You have a covenant with this good shepherd, and he will carry you. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to get into it. Like I said, I'm not going to finish this so I can close early. But I'm going to say a few things about it that I think are very relevant. And the part that I think I'd like to touch this morning are what are the things that I call the three guarantees of this divine protection. The three guarantees. There are three things that guarantee that your good shepherd and the protection plan that he has for you will always work and produce in your life. Now, it's a partnership, right? Every covenant is a partnership. So God has his part, and we have our part. And I think sometimes we get so excited about God's part, which is great, and we want to get all that God's part is. And sometimes we're not particularly paying attention to our part. And I think many times that's why that covenant does not produce. The word of God is so. The word that promised that he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways so that you don't dash your foot against the stone. The word that promised that you will trample down the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. That word that promises all of that is true. That word is true. It is an eternal promise. The word that promises that he's going to walk with you through the rivers and through the fires. And even the slightest evidence of it will not be shown on, will not be seen on you. That word is true. But we have a part, and I believe a lot of times as believers, we're not paying as much attention to what our part is. We're usually very excited about his part. And that's good. We should be excited about his part, because his part, that's the promise. That's the guarantee. That's the assurance. And you should know it. But you should also be excited about your part. You should find out about your part. Unfortunately, I'm not going to get too much into our part today. So join us on Wednesday. I'll talk a lot about our part. But let's take today, since that's how much time we have, let's talk about the three things that guarantee his protection for the sheep. Now, since we're talking about David, Pastor Tinu did this earlier, but I want to take you there and read a different section of that 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go and read 1 Samuel and chapter 17 together. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, I have guaranteed protection.
I have guaranteed protection.
No matter what is going on in the world,
my good shepherd
has guaranteed
my protection.
Whether it's the lion,
or the bear,
or the wolf,
or COVID,
or any other thing that I don't even know about,
my good shepherd guarantees my protection,
and I believe it. Hallelujah. Now, so let's read in 1 Samuel 17, and let's read from verse 34. David said unto Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. I want you to see a few things. I don't want to spend too much time here because of time. But there are a couple of things I want you to pay attention to here. Number one, I want you to notice David is talking out of a place of revelation. Saul, the king, he is the king. He's the number one citizen in the entire nation. That man only had a mental awareness of what David was talking about out of revelation. I want you to notice that. I want you to see here, David is talking from a place of deep revelation. And Saul, when he heard the little boy, after he heard everything David had to say, he said, okay, go, and the Lord be with you. Like, this boy is crazy. Okay, go, the Lord be with you. Because he did not have a revelation of what David was talking about. He knew about it. He had heard about it. Some of his priests who came to read the Pentateuch to him had told him about this God who can deliver. But he didn't know that God. You know what Saul knew? He knew a lot about his armor. That's why even after David told him everything that his God will do, Saul said, well, you know, you're a crazy boy, but at least take my armor so as insurance. David said, no, I have insurance that is greater than your armor. Hallelujah. I have insurance that is greater than anything in the natural realm. You know why David said that? Because he's speaking from a place of revelation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That revelation is what I've prayed for you for hours that you will have. Because there's a place for mental awareness, but that doesn't go very far. When you get in that deep sunless valley, mental awareness can only help you for so long. When you get in that deep sunless valley and it begins to go on and on and on, you know, there are some valleys we can run through.
There are some valleys you can just run through. I mean, you close your eyes, you open your eyes, it's over. Ah, glory to God. You exhale. I made it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, like that story I told you in Kaduna, Nigeria in 1990. That was a valley that was just like that. It was like, I closed my eyes. I was in the valley of the shadow of death. I opened my eyes. I had jumped out of the car. I was on the dust, covered in dust. My eyes opened. I touched my body to make sure I was alive. I said, hallelujah, I made it. That was a very, very short-lived valley. But you know, there are some valleys that you can't run through. Like the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through. There are some valleys that don't allow you to run through. You have to walk through it. I mean, the valley that Noah and the generation at his time walked through was a plague, a flood that lasted 5 months. The Bible says 150 days, non-stop rain. That's not one valley you can run through. 150 days, can you believe that? 105 straight months of irritating rain. Destroying floods. And so that one, you got to walk through it. See, if all you have is this mental awareness, at some point, you are going to break. At some point, is this? You are going to start out very excited. You are going to start out hearing all these very powerful messages. Glory to God. The Lord is my good shepherd. You may even be able to preach it better than the preachers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is my good shepherd. You might get up in the morning and quote Psalm 91. Woo! They that dwell in the secret. I mean, but after you've gone through that deep sunless valley for about 30 days and there is no end in sight and you don't know how much longer this flood is going to be raging. Remember that when God told Noah to go in the ark, he didn't tell him he would be for 5 months. Because if he had told him he was going to be for 5 months, they could just have marked their calendars. And as it gets more and more difficult, they just keep saying, okay, it's 4 months and 2 days left. And as it gets more and more difficult, oh, it's 3 months and 1 day left. And they could just somehow or the other hang in there, knowing that the end was in sight. But when you go through this deep sunless valley and you do not know when the end date is, at some point, what you know in your head betrays you. It's got to be a deep revelation that I know my good shepherd will take care of me. My good shepherd. David said, King, let me tell you. Now, you can read. I don't want to stay there. I have too much to do here. I've got to try to close soon. You can go and meditate that scripture. But I want you to notice here, the lamb that the lion took, the lamb that the bear took, and in John 10, Jesus didn't talk about lamb. As he didn't talk about lion, he didn't talk about bear, he talked about wolf. The lamb that the wolf took was already in the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to notice something here. You know, a lot of times as believers, we pray, God, don't let this happen to me. God, don't let this happen to me. And a lot of times our faith is limited to the extent that we have asked God, okay, I know that evil possibility, but God, please don't let that happen to me. Don't let that happen to me. And sometimes we limit God by how many boundaries we have created for him and the extent of how far we think his ability and his powers can go. That we think the worst thing that can happen, that lamb could have imagined, the worst thing that can happen is that the lion actually picks me up with his mouth and he takes me to an unknown destination. That lamb could actually imagine sometimes that the worst thing that can happen to me is that I'm thrown into this den of lions. That lamb could think sometimes that the worst thing that can happen to me is this king has been threatening for so long that he's going to throw us into the fire, into the fire, a burning fiery furnace, the worst thing that can happen is that they actually throw us. No, that is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Sometimes going through the deep, sunless valley, sometimes is the platform that your good shepherd needs to show, not just to you, but to your adversary, to the entire world, that his covenant can never be broken. His covenant can never be defeated. And no matter how bad it gets, Jehovah Nissi will still show up and keep you in the lion's den. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that the lamb was already caught in the mouth of the lion. Where several days past the prayer, God, please don't let the lion pick me up. He's already in the mouth of the lion. He's already been taken far away from the sheepfold with almost no assurance that he'll make it through this. This is the valley of the shadow of death. But David said, he said, I went after him. Did you see that in that scripture? Glory be to God. He said, I went after him. He said, I went after the lion. Just so you know, now depending on what translation of the scriptures you read, you may think this thing is happening at the same time. It's not happening at the same time. The lion came and did his own. The bear came and did his own. The wolf came and did his own. And now the uncircumcised Philistine is about to do his own. But David is trying to tell us, no matter what it is, whether it's the lion, whether it's the bear, whether it's the wolf, whether it's the uncircumcised Philistine, he said, Jehovah Sabaoth has never lost a fight. Hallelujah. He said, Jehovah Sabaoth has never lost a fight. He said, I went after him. What verse is that? Help me. What verse is that? 35. I went out after him. I went out after him. Somebody say, he went out after him. Say it again. Say, he went out after him. All hope was already lost, but he went out after him anyway. Hallelujah. 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 There was no GPS or navigation system to find this lion that stole the lamb, but he went out after him anyways, because he is Jehovah Sabaoth. Hallelujah! He said, I went out after him. Watch this now. He said, and I smote him. I smote him. Watch this. And I delivered it out of his mouth. Watch this. And when he arose against me now. Now listen to this now. Listen. This lion is not kidding. This lion is not about to quit. He said he went after him. He found him. He took the lamb out of his mouth. And you would have thought at that time, the lion will be like King Saul and say, this is a crazy boy. Okay, just go. The Lord be with you. No, but the lion didn't quit. The lion didn't quit. What did the lion do? He said, huh? You took my lamb? And David is saying, it's not your lamb, it's my lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that's how your good shepherd, many times, that's how he declares over you. He said, he's mine, you can't touch him. She's mine, you can't touch her. All of that assault has to stop, because that is my property. Now Satan, lose your hold. Now Satan, lose your hold. Let him go. Let him go. That's my property. Somebody say, I belong to God. Say, I'm God's property. Say, I'm in covenant with Jehovah God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want you to know, the Lord told me to tell you, no matter the dimension of the ramification, no matter how he shows up, no matter how fierce it seems, No matter, even if it looks like all hope is already lost, like he already took away the lamb, the Lord is telling me to tell you today that he's finding his sheep. He's going after the enemy. He's going after the adversary. And he's going to win every battle. Shout hallelujah, somebody. David had a deep revelation. He had a deep revelation of how Jehovah Sabaoth works. You know, in Psalm 27, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says, when the wicked, even my enemies, when they come, and my foes, when they rise up and they come against me to eat up my flesh, he said, they stumbled and they fell. He said, though an host rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. In this will I be confident. Even when the war rises against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. Let's try to close for the benefit of those who are at home, sitting before their computer screen so they don't get tired of staring at that TV set or whatever wherever they are joining us today. I want you to notice there are three things that guarantee the divine protection plan that the good shepherd has made for his sheep. So here I want to throw a lot of scriptures at you, so I'm just going to do this very slowly and very deliberately. The very first thing that guarantees your divine protection is his presence. His presence. And you know, that is what David said in that scripture in Psalm 23. Say, yea, though I walk, that's verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. His presence is the first thing that guarantees your divine protection. He told Moses in Exodus 33:14, he says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Yes. Remember that's what he told him? His presence. My friends, wherever you go, no matter who is there and no matter who is not, if Jehovah is with you, you are okay. Yes. Everything will be all right. Amen. You may be far away from the reach of everyone that loves you. Sense in my spirit there's someone online with us today who is far away from everyone that loves them. And they can't even get to them. And in their minds, the feeling and the thought is, I'm so vulnerable out here. I'm so far away from everyone that can help me. No, no, no. The Lord says, I am with you. You are not far away from everyone that loves you. The one who loves you the most, the one who has the ultimate power to deliver you, to protect you, he said, I am with you. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know if you've ever read in Isaiah 43. I can't read it because of time. He says, I will be with you. You are mine. I've called you by your name. He says, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, I will be there. When you go through the fire, I will be there. He said, I've called you by my name. He said, I will give Egypt as a ransom for you. I give men in exchange for your life. Do you know you are a child of God's covenant? His presence is a guarantee of your protection. No matter where you are, whether you are in the lion's den, whether you are in one faraway wilderness, whether you feel like you are lost somewhere, whether you are caught in the burning fiery furnace or wherever you find yourself, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Amen. I love especially the way he puts it in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. This one I've got to read. I know we know it, but I got to read this in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We're going to read that second part in the Amplified. Hallelujah. His presence guarantees your divine protection. Hallelujah. That's why David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Of whom? Whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I be afraid? Even when war arises against me, he said, "In this will I be confident." Why? Because he's with me. Because he's with me. I want you to read that real quickly in the Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the second part. He said, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree." He repeats it three times. I'm not just repeating it myself. He said it three times. "I will not." He just wants you to know his presence will always be there with you. His presence will always be there with you. His presence will be your anchor when your ship is failing and sinking. His presence will be your bright morning star when you can't see the light of day. His presence will be the sweetness around you when everything feels bitter. His presence will be your peace when there's confusion all around you. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not," he says, "I will not, I will not. In any degree, I will not leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not." He says, so we take comfort, verse 6, we take comfort and we are encouraged and we confidently and boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" His presence is your guaranteed protection. His presence. Let's take one more before we close. His presence guarantees your protection. It's 12:45 actually. I think we should just stop. His presence guarantees your protection. His presence. I'm so tempted to go forward, but I'm not going to do it because then I'm going to preach too long. His presence guarantees your protection. It's a good place to close out today. I want you to relate with his presence like you know how real it is. I want you to understand God's presence isn't necessarily when we feel goosebumps, not necessarily when we feel emotions, and not necessarily when there's tears streaming down our faces. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But I want you to know, even when you don't feel anything, he's there. Oh, I learned that so many years ago. I learned that so many years ago. It's sweet. It's lovely. It's good. It's a good feeling. If you can feel something, like I feel in this service today, I can feel his presence. It's a studio. It's just a handful of people here and a few people online, but I feel his mighty presence. I can feel his arms wrapped around us. I can feel him. I can feel him. I can feel him. But I've also learned there's so many times in life when we don't feel him like that. So many times in life when it feels dry. It just feels so dry and you feel so helpless. You feel so alone. There's so many times in life when the only sounds around you that you can hear, the noises being made by the enemy, when you're surrounded by the statistics of the destruction and the ravage of the plague, and the noise sometimes can seem so loud, but I've found out that even in those times, his presence is there. no matter how far away you are, all the way out at sea, and there is no human life in sight, God is right there. It's right there. Do you remember the story of Jacob? He was a young boy, a young man who had never left home before. And he had to run for his life because he had defrauded his twin brother of his birthright, and his twin brother was coming after him. He had taken his birthright, he had taken his blessing, he had taken it, and he knew his life was in danger. He ran, and he came to a place somewhere in the middle of nowhere. The Bible says the sun set, he got a few stones and used those as a pillow, and he slept in the night. And suddenly in the middle of the night, the presence of God came and filled the place. And Jacob got up and he said, wow, God was in this place and I did not know it. His presence is with you. As we close this service, I just, child of God, wherever you're listening to this today, it's so deep in my spirit. I sense a strong leaning of the Holy Spirit to have me impart this to you. He's there with you. He never left and he'll never leave. Maybe sometimes you feel him more when you step up more and you connect with him in your own heart, in your spirit. Yeah, you definitely will feel him more. But even when you don't, he's still there. He's just a whisper and a prayer away. And so as I close this service today, I want you to take comfort in the presence of your good shepherd. He's right there with you. I don't know how long this goes on for, and I don't know what happens next, and I don't know how this plays out. But I do know one thing. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be there with you. I know we all wish that we could just run through this. And I know there are a lot of things we deal with in life and we wish we could just run through them. And sometimes that valley of the shadow of death is one where we wish we could just run through it. But sometimes in life you got to walk through it. Sometimes it lasts much longer than you want or desire. But even when that happens, remember, his presence is always with you. I'm going to pray for you as I close today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, and I thank you for all of their loved ones. And I thank you, Father, for sending us your word today. You are our good shepherd, and your presence guarantees our protection. Wherever we are, oh yes, there is someone out there who's dealing with the fear of this pandemic because you have to help so many people. That's your job and your calling. You have to help so many people. You don't even have a choice about it. You have to be there where the sick are diagnosed, where the sick sometimes die. And fear may be gripping your heart. Or someone who's close to someone who's been diagnosed and fear grips your heart. Or someone who's dealing with the unknown, and fear grips your heart. The Lord told me to tell you, even in that valley of the shadow of death, he is there with you. Even in that valley with so many sick and so many dead, he is there with you. Never leave you.
guarantees your protection. Father, thank you. All through this week, I pray covering of protection over your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I plead the blood of the covenant, the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over all your loved ones. Cover them. Cover them. So many people who are full of despair, some in places where they feel the government can't reach them to help them, some in places where they feel deserted. I just want you to know God is right there. Even there where you feel deserted, even there where you feel all alone, even there where you feel the government can't help you, God is right there. God is right there. I pray a blanket of protection over your people. Wrap your arms around them, oh God. Comfort, oh God, those that feel broken. Quicken the hearts, oh God, of those that are troubled. Bring swift healing, God, for those that feel broken. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let your people feel more of your presence all of this week than they have felt in a long time. Help them, God, by faith to connect with your presence that is all around them, Lord. Let your word become flesh in their living rooms. Let your word become flesh in their bedrooms. Let your word become flesh in their basements. Let your word become flesh in their kitchens. Let your word become flesh everywhere they dwell, everywhere they go. God, let your word become flesh. Let your presence be manifest in the name of Jesus through the solid walls, cause that they hear your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, through all the noise, cause that they hear your word in the name of Jesus. Through all the assault, through all the bad news, cause that they hear your word in the name of Jesus. Rescue the lamb. Rescue the lamb that has already been snatched by the lion out of a flock. Rescue the lamb, God, that has already been snatched out of the flock by the jaws of the bear. Deliver every oppressed, every vulnerable in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the anointing of Jehovah Sabaoth, the anointing of Jehovah Nissi, the anointing of Jehovah Rapha, the anointing of Jehovah Shammah, God, let it be a high tower. Let it be a high tower around your people today. All of this week. All of this week. We thank you.